Welcome one and all to another episode of The Damage Report. Today, of course, is Friday, and every Friday is a special day here at The Damage Report. But today is actually an especially special Friday. One might call it a big news Friday, because we are returned. We are joined once again after far too long of a wait in a new, I think it's like, I don't know, is that like at the top of like a new like tech-filled skyscraper? Look at this cool environment. It's JR Jackson, and look at his new set.
Look at this, you guys.
Sitting where I sit.
What you guys need to understand is this is the most relaxed John has been in about, we're at 4 months now, 5 months? 4 months in, because I stress John out every day. This is the first thing that I have. I'll find a way, man. Thank you. You know what? I've been hoping to come back and see you guys for a long time. This is a big day for me.
It is a big day for us. Obviously, you've been co-hosting our show for literally years. Now you're, I don't know, 20, 25 weeks into your own show, The Watch List. And so what you may not know, especially if you're listening to the podcast or if you're new to the show, is that up until today, we shoot it on literally the same table, the same chair. So his show ends and we have a quick reset so that I can sit in. It has not been a big source of stress for some time. Early on, not gonna lie, yes, I was very stressed about it, especially because it takes like 10 minutes before my computer will register my AirPods. But now everything's cool, JR, and it's great to have you back.
I'm glad to be here, you guys. I would like to know the transfer of watchers to Dragons, but you know, we'll figure that out soon since we now have this seamless process. I love it.
I think that we do. What I need to see in the Twitch and YouTube chat is if you had been watching the watch list, say it in the chat right now, and then we'll know.
Absolutely.
Well, not only do you get JR today, you also get the throwing away of the garbage people of the week. We're going to be talking about them. I have one that's very on theme for the news of this week. We'll have to see who JR chose. But in addition to that, we got a ton to talk about, from the labor movement to some wars we're involved in, to some wars we could have been involved in and narrowly avoided. And the right, absolute, like they love to joke about snowflakes. You're about to see like peak snowflake here. Maybe the worst candidate. We've talked about a lot of abusive, awful candidates this cycle. I think we've got the absolute worst. By the way, we are getting a lot of comments. from people saying they're watching the watch list. Yeah, it's actually the chat is moving too fast. It's like very briefly, it was like the experience that like Hassan has at all points. It's like you can't even read this. I don't even understand what's going on.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so thank you everybody. By the way, how great is that new functionality? It's effectively like built-in rating in the YouTube stream. I love that. I had to do it like informally back in the day. Now it's built in, so that's awesome. Anyway, we got a lot to talk about. Stick around. Garbage People of the Week is how we're gonna close out the full show. So that's something to look forward to. Hit the like button, share the stream, blah, blah, blah. You know all that, and we'll respond to your comments as we go. With that said, JR, are you ready to talk about some news?
I think so, man. Literally, I feel like I'm brand new again. I don't know how this works anymore. I'm trying to run it my way. I keep wanting to talk. I'm like, let me talk. I'm hosting here.
That's true. No, this is actually the last you'll hear of JR. With that said, let's jump into this.
This is very dangerous. You can have oversight hearings all you like, but you've determined Amazon is a piece of crap company. That's your political bias. They're subject to the laws of the United States. They shouldn't be subject to this. If we get the committee back, we're not gonna do this. This is a heavy-handed approach, the most radical agenda in my lifetime. And it should be carried out at the ballot box, and it will be.
Well, first of all, I wanna address Mr. Graham. First off, you know, it sounded like you was talking about more of the companies and the businesses in your speech, but you forgot that the people are the ones who make these companies operate. And if we're not protected, and if the process for when we hold these companies accountable is not working for us, then that's the reason why we're here today.
And that, of course, is Christian Smalls, president of the Amazon Labor Union, testifying before Congress yesterday. And I'm going to keep it real. I had not actually watched the beginning of that clip before. When Lindsey Graham like performally lost, like, you're acting like it's a piece of crap company, I almost spit out my coffee on the camera. Like, calm down, Lindsey. I get it. You love corporations. You don't care about workers. He was very honest there, Lindsey was. If we take over this committee, we're not going to be doing this. There is not going to be any oversight whatsoever of any corporations. And you workers who very briefly are having your opinions actually considered, it is not going to happen if we take over again. Well, don't worry, Lindsey. We trust you. But we want to give a little bit more time to Christian Smalls there to respond to what Lindsey was saying. Let's jump into this.
That is in your best interest to realize that it's not a left or right thing. It's not a Democrat or a Republican thing. It's a workers thing. It's a workers issue. And we're the ones that are suffering in the corporations that you're talking about, in the businesses that you're talking about, in the warehouses that you're talking about. So that's the reason why I think I was invited today to speak on that behalf. And you should listen because we do represent your constituents as well. So just take that into consideration that the people are the ones that make these corporations go. It's not the other way around.
Okay, so I could not agree with what Christian Small says there more. And that's like the core thing that over the last year or so, we here at the Damage Report and generally at TYT, I would say, have been trying to get through to them. They try to make all of this a partisan thing, left, right. And they do that in part to hide the fact that the right, which loves to pretend in very vague terms that they're the ones who are going to deliver for their constituents, that's not actually true. Christian Small is totally right there. Workers deserve respect. And more importantly, they deserve to be compensated fairly and protected in terms of regulations of how their workplaces exist. Whether they're like Democrats or Republicans, leftists, conservatives, like there are a lot of conservative workers who are being treated horribly by their bosses, by their corporations. And the right doesn't care. They distract them from that. They try to delude them into thinking that that's not worth addressing through their focus on CRT and all that stuff, JR. And so I love that Christian Smalls fought against the narrative that Lindsey Graham was trying to spread in that video.
Well, I'm not sure how Lindsey Graham feels that you can say things like this as a senator and not expect that kind of pushback. It's because the narrative has been pushed so many times and we just accept it. Hey, so the Republican Party is literally against workers' rights. Straight up, he's saying it. And he says it because he thinks he sees this black dude from New York who has the accent and thinks he's not very smart, that we'll just trample all over you and say, how dare you call Amazon a piece of crap company? Guarantee you, if Amazon decides to do something that conservatives don't like, guess who's gonna call it a piece of crap company? They're calling Disney a piece of crap company. Others that have called Disney a piece of crap company before they opposed these things against trans kids and actually kids talking about who they are in their lives and maybe their parents, now Disney's a piece of crap company. But this is the one glimpse into what Republicans will be looking for as legislators. They keep telling us what they would do when they're back in power. We're not going to do oversight. You mentioned that stuff. This is their legislative agenda to attack workers and real people who push companies along. They really think that these companies, that Jeff Bezos walks his ass in there every day and does all this work. No, they do these types of things and they suppress their work so they can continue to do it because they think they're expendable. We can get the next guy and the next guy and the next guy because we don't give you enough to make it feel like there's something that you can take to advance your career here. And once people are done with it, they're like, oh, we got the next guy. There's plenty of poor folks for us to choose from. That's their agenda, but they just don't want to explicitly say it. And once Chris Smalls pushed back, what did Lindsey Graham have to say? I mean, I'm not sure if he said anything after, but as he's talking, it's head nodding and man, this guy is smarter than I thought.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, maybe he's just been, I don't know, believing what he's heard in Fox News, but I'm glad that you brought up Disney there because look at what the two sides are focusing on in terms of corporations. And by the way, what I'm gonna say is the left side is not the Democrats. They're not focusing on anything, but like the labor movement on the left is trying to fight for workers' rights, compensation, those sorts of things from some of the biggest corporations in the country right now. Amazon, Starbucks are two of the most out front, but there's a lot of other movements going on saying we deserve to be paid better. We deserve to be protected. There is still a pandemic. You're overworking us. Benefits, all that stuff. And on the right, it's Disney wants to have gay kisses. Seriously, like this is what they're choosing to focus on. And we should mock that. There are so many conservative workers that it is going to be hard to get through to get them to understand, as we say constantly, that we have their economic interests at heart in a way that conservatives literally never will because they're being paid not to. It is so hard to get through to them, but we have to try. We're the ones that want them to be paid, that want them to be able to retire with dignity, that want them to be able to own their own home and send their kids to college and not face bankruptcy at the first, you know, $500 economic issue that they face, or, you know, medical bankruptcy, those sorts of things. We're the ones actually fighting for their interests. People like Christian Smalls and others. And by the way, we're using a bit of shorthand. Christian Smalls is testifying in that video. There were a number of different labor activists involved or not involved specifically with the effort to unionize Amazon. I want to talk a bit though about why this was called. Now, Bernie Sanders was instrumental in getting this to actually happen. He's the head of the Senate Budget Committee. And what he wanted to do is he wanted to get the perspective of workers as they focus on the fact that right now the federal government, but by the way, we're going to jump ahead to what they did after that testimony, but they're providing these contracts to companies that regularly, routinely break federal labor laws. Now, Amazon has racked up at this point more than $75 million in fines for violating federal discrimination and wage laws. That is a large amount of money in absolute terms. Obviously, for them, it's basically nothing because these fines are never in line with the severity of the crimes. Now, what's interesting though is last year, the company basically had to come to a settlement having to do with some of the activities they'd been getting up to. The issue was that right after they did that, right after, by the way, the testimony that you saw, more contracts were given to Amazon. And so we're going to show you in a little bit Joe Biden, who's going to meet with these organizers and everything. And like the issue is coming out of this, Lindsey Graham looks like the bad guy because he's the one that's like yelling at them and getting all worked up and defending Amazon and everything. But at the same time, while the Democrats are the ones that are having them come in to testify, are they really on their side? Is Joe Biden, he's in speeches. He's indicated that he supports this unionization effort at Amazon. Every once in a while he'll mention it, but are you gonna see him there? Is he gonna go speak to the workers before a vote or something, JR? I sort of doubt that they're gonna give that really proactive support. Like letting them come in and testify is something, but that is hardly as far as they could go.
So this is one of those situations, right? Where, as you're pointing out, Democrats throughout history have decided to make sure that they only associate with folks like this when it comes to a time to look better. What are you gonna do to implement it? And the way that they can also prove that is, as Smalls pointed out there, it's not just Democrats, bro. Republicans work, and they're regular working Americans too. If Democrats can find a way to actually listen to folks in different areas, not just what they think are their Democratic strongholds, because workers want workers' rights no matter where they vote. The reasons why Republicans have split folks so much is because they've also dealt to what many people's personal biases, maybe racial, gender-based, all these types of things, biases they have them on their side. But you know what everyone wants? They want some prosperity. They want to be thanked and respected for their work. I don't care where you're from. And if they actually do it, they can actually attract people rather than just doing it as a photo op or, hey, Chris Small said something. Let's make sure he stand next to me and I can do this and roll up my sleeves and say I'm really working with the people and maybe you'll vote for me. People see through that. Smalls will see through that. They call people out no matter what party you're from because they want the respect and they want to get what they deserve. Let's keep real. These aren't handouts. This is what they're working for.
Exactly. Yeah. As he says, Amazon is a thing in some senses, but Amazon is the product of the workers. At the end of the day, until they finally replace everyone with robots, it's people who lift things up and put them in boxes and close it and put it on a truck and actually send it to you, let alone actually manufacturing the goods in the first place. It is all actual workers. Sure, you know, Bezos or whatever billionaire in individual cases organizes it and stuff. And there's managers and everything. But at the end of the day, it is about the people that are doing the actual work. They have been ignored for the entirety of American history. And at some point, there was a brief moment, like 75 years ago, maybe like 90 years ago, where we briefly started to care about workers. And that's how we got things like the weekend and stuff like that. It is time for another period like that. We desperately need it. The pandemic was a reminder of how little corporations actually care about workers. And so let's get more people like Christian Smalls and other labor activists that we feature on the show out there. Let's get them the support they need, recognition by the media to elevate their message, by politicians, people like Bernie Sanders, by the way, who have a platform that know that when they ally themselves with a cause, that doesn't just provide a moral boost, like a, you know, a morale boost. It provides coverage. He can bring that to it.
Questioning by responding briefly to Senator Graham, I think he suggested that a hearing like this is radical. And you know what? I think he's right. In a Congress dominated by corporate lobbyists and wealthy campaign contributors, the idea that we would actually hear from the working class of this country is, in fact, radical. But I make no apologies for that.
I do like that. I do appreciate that. We say all the time, of course, like you could have days go by on CNN and MSNBC and Fox News, and you will never see a single person who actually makes the minimum wage, who's grinding out a living. And you'll see it even less, of course, in, you know, testimony like this. These are not the sort of people that are brought in. We don't see their perspective. We don't hear about their struggles. It is so rare, even more than a year into the Biden administration, it's rare, but Bernie Sanders made it happen. And that is so important, not just for the effort to unionize Amazon, but for all of the different movements, many of which we've talked about in the show that are trying to do the same thing or similar things for corporations throughout the country.
Maybe they'll get there. I don't know. Here's the thing. The fact that someone like Bernie Sanders can be the one saying this and then actually supporting it and been the one saying this before we have actual words come out and have to plead their case. And he's called radical. Socialist going to destroy the country. Again, they can't let those types of people be connected to people like Bernie Sanders because he has to still seem like he's fringe when he's actually representing the majority of the country. Let's keep it real. Yeah, his 100%. Radical nature. It actually appeals to Republicans. Weird how that works.
Yeah, we've noticed that certainly over the past 6 years or so. Let's go to the pictures now. JR had mentioned them. Here is Joe Biden taking a picture with Christian Smalls and others. And so let's just stop on that for a sec. Am I being petty in saying he's kind of like turned away from him? I guess they're posing in the same direction. I don't know, JR. Am I getting too like body language analyst here?
You know what, John? You are. And
okay.
But you were getting too body language analyst there. But you know what? I saw the exact same thing immediately. It's the first thing I saw. And also, if you're doing a photo op, because every politician does it, or at least would like to, that if they have enough importance to, you want to highlight the person that you're trying to highlight here. And maybe it was a brain fart, I don't know. But if you're going to embrace the guy who's just speaking in front of Congress and maybe he's getting a lot of press, you openly go, let me make sure that I have him as my buddy. Maybe the thought slipped his mind. He's a professional politician. It'd be curious that it slips his mind. Or maybe it was just a weird shot that took a million and he was shifting. I don't know. It just doesn't look like it's the right shot to take. If you see several of them, let's take the one where I'm more leaning towards Chris, you guys. Just maybe
exactly.
A thought.
Yeah, and I'm sure that they took others and everything. But anyway, also, so we don't have audio of everything that happened in that interaction, but we know like the weird faux pas and weird things that Biden does. Like, I really hope that he got through that meeting without saying something really weird, telling a story from the 70s or like. Just come on, Joe. Keep it together, man. Keep it together.
You know, Chris, anyway. You're a good guy. You remind me of this one guy back in 70. No. He used to smoke cool cigarettes.
Oh, my God. The second he says, you remind me of, a Secret Service member needs to tackle Biden to save him from himself.
I had a friend named Jamal.
Oh, no. I was hanging out in a jazz hall and no. No, Biden. Anyway, coming out of it, Christian Smalls tweeted, just met the president, lol. He said I got him in trouble. Good. I like that. I like that. And by the way,
maybe okay. I like that potential interaction. Obviously, you know, if Chris said it happened, you know, he said got him in trouble. Good. You know, that's fun. That's a fun little interaction.
Exactly. And if you zoom in, by the way, you can see a bit more of the classic Eat the Rich jacket that Christian. I've been Googling and I found something sort of similar. But I haven't been able to find that one. Also, wouldn't be able to pull it off. But anyway, I like the jacket.
Yeah.
but obviously, far more importantly, it's getting in the door. It's giving your perspective. Little snippets of his interaction, especially with Lindsey Graham. Those can theoretically be spread and people will see that this is not like they keep trying to pitch it as a left versus right thing. It's not. It's workers against the corporate establishment. And the corporate establishment certainly has a lot of defenders on the right in the Republican Party, but amongst the Democrats as well. And so we got to get through to people, especially young people. Christian Smalls is a great messenger for that, and then can pull people in and do the organizing. As he's talked about recently, he didn't just, you know, help to launch this unionization effort, but he's working with tons of other activists, labor organizers, working for a lot of other corporations. And that's how you create a broad base of change. Just appealing to the Democrats, elected Democrats, trying to get them to do this. We've seen how successful that's been throughout our lives. So this is a different road, and it certainly seems to be one that's paying off much more quickly. Any other thoughts?
No, I think this is a, we'll see where we go. I mean, this might be the last time you hear any of this. Let's keep it real.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I've been naive. I've been wrong about pretty much everything, but I don't think so in this case.
Okay.
We'll see. We'll see. Anyway, before we take our break, though, I did want to just let you know about one thing. I was going to do it on the other side, but then I realized, no, because then it won't go up on the podcast. So I got to do it now. If you were watching the pre-show yesterday, you already know about this. But today is regrettably the final day for our longstanding producer, Marissa. Marissa, like, first of all, I didn't know if they can take your camera, and you're not obligated to, but Marissa's on the call right now. Her or Sophie is in the call every day. They make the show possible. Marissa started a couple of weeks before the lockdown. She's been with us throughout that, through the 2020 election and the insurrection and the difficult times with the infrastructure bill and all the nonsense with the war and everything, helping make the show work by pitching stories, producing blocks, cutting sots, managing social media stuff. Hey, Marissa's there. I don't know, can we hear Marissa? I don't know that we'll be capable of it, but that's Marissa.
I have to unmute myself because I'm usually muted.
Marissa, you are awesome. You have given us more than 2 years of your time and your blood, sweat, and tears. And now you're going off to do other great things, but it has been a pleasure working with you.
Thanks, John. Yes, I am all out of blood, sweat, and tears, so I have nothing left to give.
Well, I made sure that I pulled a few more tears from her because I was very late on something that she wanted from me this morning.
Oh man, no, we'll get to the garbage people soon. Don't worry about that.
Oh man.
But anyway, Marissa, it's been great. Hopefully, you won't be a stranger. And thank you for everything you've done.
Never. Awesome. Thanks, John. Thanks. I'll go back to muting myself and producing the show.
So. Please do. Okay. Anyway, with that said, we do have to take our first break. So we're going to respond to some of your comments. We'll be back with more after this. Okay. So if you have been watching the show for a long time, this is such a classic, stupid American politics story that we're about to jump into. It feels like 2018 again. Okay, let's talk about this. Really? Okay. Nope. Not fun. Nope. Donald Trump apparently had a plan to deal with drug labs in Mexico. And it is so Donald Trump. Now, thankfully, he was stopped from doing this, but we got to give you the details from what he wanted to do back when he was president. Back in 2020, he asked Mark Esper, then his defense secretary, about the possibility of launching missiles into Mexico to, quote, destroy the drug labs and wipe out the cartels. So, like, not just hitting specific spots that they think are drug labs, but attacking in an all-out war the cartels. Now, he said, we can do it, but we should keep it secret. This is what Mark Esper is saying in his upcoming memoir. Well, what does that mean? What do you mean keep it secret? You're talking about bombing a place, our neighbor to the south. Well, Trump apparently was unhappy about the constant flow of drugs across the southern border. He asked Mr. Esper at least twice if the military could shoot those missiles. He was told they don't have control of their own country and raised other objections. Trump said, we could just shoot some Patriot missiles and take out the labs quietly, adding that no one would know it was us. This is a real story. This is a real thing that the president really said to the Secretary of Defense. They won't know. It'll be the perfect crime. Anyway, he says, yeah, he'll just do it and then deny that it was them. Esper says he thought initially it was a joke, or he would have thought it was a joke if he hadn't been looking at Trump's face. And Trump was not joking, JR. Here comes a Tony says, I bet he wanted to put silencers on the missiles. I don't know, but he thought we could do it and they'd never know it was the US. What do you think?
I'm wondering who he thought that they would think it was. They're maybe Central America, some country in South America. I'm trying to figure which barriers or which proximity of a group or person who could specifically take out drug labs so the cartels can no longer operate. Where are those? How do you discover those? Are they do they have big signs on the top that says drug cartel here with a splashing light? Because they want to promote, let everyone know where they are so that maybe American just bomb those drug labs and Mexico has no control over their country. Does Donald Trump know that there's drug labs in America? Does he know that? Does he know that there's drug dealers in America? Does he know that there's rampant drug use in America? And it's not just all Mexico. It's weird how that works. Should we bomb the drug labs here? Do we not care who's next door to that? You know, if we do it, we can just say it was Canada.
Yeah, I don't give him ideas because he'll do it. So someone suggested he might have seen Wonder Woman. And he saw they have invisible jets. You can't see them. We'll use those. So here's the thing. The thing that's crazy about the story is the very specific Trumpian addition to it. You might think, oh my God, that is crazy that they considered bombing the drug labs. I think that's crazy. I think that's insane and illegal, obviously. But from the point of view of like American history, that is the sort of thing that we do. It's crazy that we do that frequently, that we think that we can just take out a facility in a random spot in Africa, or the Middle East or whatever. We totally do that. So I don't think Trump was totally insane in thinking. I mean, again, he was, but he had reason to believe it because that's what the US does. The fact that he thought that like no one will know, nobody tracks that sort of thing. There's not satellites or anything. Russia won't think that that's a little bit weird that we just all of a sudden start bombarding Mexico. Mexico definitely won't have an issue with it. There won't be any debris left over from the missiles or anything. No one will have seen the planes. The whole thing's absolute madness. But thankfully, in this case, it was stopped. Mark Esper, who I'm sure is absolutely terrible in a billion different ways, didn't go along with it in the same way that he. And again, this is coming from him, so there's certainly going to be a spin on it. Let's acknowledge that. Didn't go along with what he thought was the beginnings of mobilizing the military to stop the peaceful transfer of power. Now, coming out of that, it was stopped, but we're now involved in some way in another war in Ukraine. He has the same idea. I will remind you may not remember this story from just like 2 months ago. At that point, he told a group of the GOP's top donors that the US should label its F-22 planes with the Chinese flag and bomb the S out of Russia. Again, the perfect crime. They'll never know it was us. We'll put a flag on it. They do flags there, don't they? He says, and then we say China did it. We didn't do it. China did it. And then they start fighting with each other and we sit back and watch. Wait, okay, again, that's insane. It would never work. But let's say he was right, JR, and that it did work. We then watch China go to war with Russia. They're both countries with massive militaries, massive nuclear arsenals. That affects us. If you were to, you couldn't, it wouldn't work. But if you were to successfully get them to fight each other, that's a bad thing for everybody, JR.
Humanity is something that's an afterthought to people like this because he's so focused on his own objectives and opinions about what he thinks is going to exalt his superiority over the world. He's like, war with China and Russia, that's just like their problem, dude. That has nothing to do with us. And he truly, truly believes this type of stuff. By the way, Esper before it talked about how Trump loves the military when they were getting along. He loves the military. He supports this and that. He's a great ally to the military. Every time Donald Trump talked about the military, he was talking about how he wanted to strengthen it because it's been decimated by Barack Obama and all this stuff. And yet, in multiple instances, he was looking to utilize the military specifically for his own use. So this strengthening of the military was strictly for his own power. It had nothing to do with protection of the country or trying to settle any other disputes anywhere else that we probably shouldn't be involved in some of these cases. But it's always about himself. And it goes right back to that. And so Esper hung around to make sure these things didn't happen. But then now we're going to talk about it. I know that's the next level of this, but you know.
And again, we can provide the same criticism that always do. He certainly sat on a lot of this until it came time for the book. Like, look, I'm not going to say that I'm perfect, they're flawed. I'm flawed too, but I will swear to you this. When I eventually do release my fantasy novel about a mouse fighting a magical crow, I have not held any critical information for the release that has to do with the future of American democracy or our foreign policy. I'm laying it all out there. You can buy the book freely, not worrying about that sort of thing.
I thought you were going to say when you launch your candidacy for Congress.
That would go well.
Бескрайней России, сидя на, в общем-то, маленьком острове. Остров столь мал, что лишь одной ракеты «Сармат» достаточно, чтобы его утопить раз и навсегда. Все уже подсчитано.
So that's Russian state TV. If you're on the podcast, you couldn't hear. He was saying, "Puny UK, you're so small. One missile, you threaten us." And it was an animation of a missile being launched, one of their Satan II missiles that completely annihilated the UK, literally wiped it off the map. As the sound of, I think, a Geiger counter going off, implying that it was a nuclear attack against the UK, started to play. And so UK, be forewarned, whether the Russian military directly is threatening you. Man, this has been a great time for fake alphas on Russian state TV threatening nuclear holocaust on a daily basis. But that, JR, was only one of their plans, the Satan II missile. He has another one, which you'll see in this clip.
Другой вариант – погрузить Британию в морскую пучину российский подводный робот-беспилотник «Посейдон». Взрыв этой термоядерной торпеды у берегов Британии поднимет гигантскую волну, цунами высотой до 500 метров. Такой водяной шквал является еще и носителем экстремальных доз радиации. Пройдя над британскими островами, он превратит то, что от них может быть еще и останется, в радиоактивную пустыню, надолго непригодную хоть для чего-то.
So that guy with his casual tone is saying we're going to create a nuclear tsunami that will plunge the UK into the sea and then create a radioactive desert. Obviously not just in the UK, a tsunami like that would affect every one of those European countries. Now that might scare you, but understand that that host on Russian state TV was very comfortable and calm with the entire process, JR.
It's almost like this former president of the United States thinking of random things like this and how it would decimate and destroy and turn these things into a radioactive desert that doesn't have much use for a very long time. Again, it's very singular, a self-promotional type of thought. We just talked about how Donald Trump wanted to bomb Mexico for drug cartels for his own glory. And then to say, I stuck it to those Mexican drug cartels and actually the country itself, since they don't want to take care of themselves. These types of things are what dictatorial mindsets create. Again, I keep connecting it back to Donald Trump. He praised Vladimir Putin. He talked about how smart he was. He talked about how great he was and how powerful this was when he invaded Ukraine. What a smart move. Boy, that's going to be some definite, I forget the term he used there, some peacekeeping there. That'll keep the peace.
Oh, yeah.
That's some strong peace right there, because nothing else matters except for his own life. So all these people who are following him, there are minions behind him and people like this guy. The thought is, only I matter. There's only certain types of people who believe this, and that's who they've collected as their followers. That's the only promotion that they'll have is they're thinking, oh man, who cares? F them. They're going to die. There's going to be a nuclear desert. Great. But they have no idea how that affects them. It's like they don't know how the world works or something.
Exactly. And by the way, one of the reasons that I wanted to play this video, and we've shown a few instances of the warmongering going on Russian TV, is it's, I think, easier for people in the West and US specifically to look at that. And because it's not our media, they say, well, that's crazy that you'd be so flippant about going to war. But like, dude, too. I'm tempted to say we don't necessarily do animations of nuclear bombs going off, but no, we probably do that too. Like, there are plenty of shows that are super casual with this sort of thing. Not only with like their coverage of how wars might go if we do them, but once the war starts, the embedded report is like, do you remember, I forget exactly which conflict it was, but they like had, there were missiles going off and they were talking about them in such poetic terms.
Oh.
Like, we do the same sort of thing here, and we should be just as critical of our media that that thinks that war can ever be abstract, that it doesn't have a human cost, a human toll. No, and I get sometimes there's obsession with military technology. I personally am very interested in military technology, weapons, vehicles, all that sort of thing. But I never forget that they're used to kill people. That's what these tools and weapons are used for. And apparently, the more you get paid in the media, the easier it is to forget about that or to conveniently ignore it.
It was Brian Williams. Was one
Brian
of them.
Williams?
There's more than him. And it was the memory. Missiles we launched into Syria.
Syria.
And he talked about how beautiful, because there was the shot. He was almost looking like it was the 4th of July. Fireworks going off, and look at the freedom that we're launching into this other country. Get the exact. Yeah, it was a beauty. There were beautiful weapons launched into. We see these beautiful pictures at night from the decks of these two U.S. Navy vessels in Eastern Mediterranean, is what he said. I'm tempted to quote the great Leonard Cohen, "I'm guided by the beauty of our weapons."
Yeah,
that's the way it works. And then, you know, he did catch some outrage, but then again, the reason he said it is because that's the norm. He thought, yeah, like, if that wasn't the norm, he wouldn't have said that, thinking this is going to be a great poetic moment. This is going to go down in history. My voice over these missiles.
There was a big bombshell having to do with the war in Ukraine, the defense of Ukraine against the Russian invasion, and the link with the US. Did you know that they apparently say now that we provided intelligence that might have been instrumental in helping Ukraine to sink that old Russian warship? Made such big news just a couple of weeks ago, the Moskva, which was sunk in the Black Sea. They're saying that we provided intelligence for that. Now, some people immediately reacted to, is this the sort of thing that should be front page news, saying these lunatics want World War III? Because presumably Russia could be angry if it turned out that we were instrumental in that vessel being sunk. Especially at a time when you're also getting headlines in the last 24 hours or so of the US intelligence being important in helping Ukraine to track down and kill Russian generals. Now, all of this, by the way, is being disputed, and you can take from that whatever you want. Any of these statements are basically worthless, but the reporting does say, we have to at least give it a chance, that the missile strike back in April by Ukrainian forces that used those, I believe it was Neptune missiles, and took out the Moskva, would have been possible without US assistance. It's unclear at this point how many Russian soldiers died in the attack. The US thinks there were significant casualties. We don't know, we probably never will know. Now, the US said they had no prior awareness of Ukraine's decision to strike the warship, that they provide information on troop movements, the movements of vessels, because those vessels get close to the coast to fire missiles and then roll away. It's important that you know where they are. They say, this is John Kirby, press secretary for Pentagon, "We did not provide Ukraine with specific targeting information for the Moskva." So obviously we have no idea who to believe except nobody. But JR, presumably, yeah, Russia could be pretty angry about that.
Yeah, they've already been threatening and saying things like, you know, if the assistance continues and this can expand and, you know, our targets will, you know, it's similar to what was actually being said a few minutes ago about how, you know, what they're going to do to Britain. And these scenarios of threats of retaliation for this type of stuff. So I do get the concern when it comes to that. And we honestly don't know what's especially when dire needs or desperation starts coming in, because I feel like this whole thing isn't really playing out that the way Putin wanted it to in the first place. So just the threats coming, you don't really know to what degree they're real or fake. Mm-hmm. And honestly, of course, these outlets are going to report this. They say officials report. Why are they telling these news outlets these things if they don't want them to report it? That's the whole idea.
That's true.
All news outlets want to do is report something. That's their only job. They're like, we have got nothing to say today. Oh, we got some inside scoop information. I don't know this personally, but I would assume there's not much of a thought process that comes to, but should we report this? What are the potential ramifications of us reporting this? Mm-hmm. And I don't know, maybe I wouldn't have thought of it either. Now, as we're looking at it now and we're seeing what the potential fallout could be, even if it's just threats, it puts people on edge or it changes the way people go towards their policies or legislation.
Sure. Yeah. And look, I think people need to know, we need to know, but we want to make sure that the most important thing, obviously, is not causing nuclear war. I think we can all agree on that, hopefully. Making sure that Ukraine isn't totally absorbed into Russia, really important too. We need it all along the way. We've been informing our audience from the very beginning of what the US is doing and what they're not doing to the best of our abilities. That's what we're gonna continue to do. By the way, really fast, I just wanna jump ahead of the last couple of graphics.
Yeah.
So this was, you know, previously we might have helped take down the Moskva. There was earlier this morning. I saw this on Forbes. The Russian frigate Admiral Makarov might be the juiciest target in the Black Sea now. And then almost immediately, you know, it was trending. They think that might have been hit by Ukrainian missiles. Now that is disputed at this point. Do not accept that, because look, the sources that are reporting that and the Twitter stuff, I would hardly say is definitive. But in theory, initially they were saying with the Moskva, no, it didn't hit. It was spontaneous combustion, you know, and then it sank. So this one apparently is also spontaneously combusting. Again, this is real. This is not just like, hey, funny news or whatever. Like, that ship has hundreds of sailors on it. Right. That ship launches missiles that kills people. This is all incredibly consequential and real. And hopefully we don't get drawn in as a result of it. I'm assuming we didn't help in the targeting of the Admiral Makarov either.
But if we, a part about this is the braggadocio of the United States. We also love to talk about how we're the strongest military presence in the entire world. So if there's any assistance we can have with helping, or at least doing something like this on this large scale, and people are like, oh my God, how'd that happen? We'd love to be the ones to be like, hey, it was us. You know, we're the badasses. Yeah. We love taking that type of credit because we want to continue that same characterization of how badass we are and how you should not F with us.
Exactly. Okay, with that said, we're going to move on to our second break. We come back. How big is snowflakes? Can the right be? Well, we will reveal it after this. Geez, you bring JR back on the show and the hour just flies by. But we do have more to talk about. We'll see how much we can get to, starting with this story. The right wants to be clear about a couple different things. One, they don't abide snowflakes. And two, they're not down with cancel culture. Just let people say and do what they want with their speech, with their art. All that said, take a look at this. In a letter sent to the TV Parental Guidelines Monitoring Board, a group of Republican politicians, including literal US senators, have strongly urged the regulatory body to update its guidelines to alert parents of content related to sexual orientation or gender identity. This is not, by the way, just state reps or state senators. Those are just literal senators saying, you need to create new ratings so that I don't accidentally see a gay person on an episode of TV or in a movie. So some of the details, they say, we strongly urge you to update the TV parental guidelines and ensure that they are up to date on best practices that help inform parents on this, in their words, disturbing content. They think that the fact that you might have a trans character on a show is by its very nature disturbing content. Which is an interesting revelation for all of us who have been told that if we have any concerns about being offended by anything, that we're being a snowflake and we should just stiff upper lip or something. I don't know. Apparently they fall apart at the idea of someday seeing a lesbian on TV. Anyway, they went into, of course, a big thing about Disney, saying that, oh my God, they want to have, quote, many, many, many LGBTQIA plus characters in our stories. Can you imagine? They're saying this radical and sexual sensation not only harms children, but also destabilizes and damages parental rights. It is a radical and sexual sensation, which is what my indie rock group was called, and it never caught on. But again, what we're talking about is content that mentions gender or that has an LGBTQ character is by its very nature offensive, radical, and sexual. In a way that, again, I'll say, they will never explain how having a straight character on TV isn't inherently sexual, but having a bi character is inherently a sexual thing. Basically pornography, JR.
This is more of their thought of everyone should be looking at the world through their own skewed eyes. So as you point out there, it's weird, you know, you can have straight folks on TV from childhood. They show these up and coming of age movies and TV shows where teenagers, it's a boy and a girl, the girl next door, the shy guy, you know, mm-hmm. the boys that come together and then learn about each other as they pursue that the girl that just the prom stories. All these are constant. It's been over and over and over again throughout all of our TV. It's in cartoons. Mm-hmm. To talk about Disney and how the battle they're having with Ron DeSantis now, Snow White, Sleeping Beauty, Beauty and the Beast. It's weird how all of, in fact, they'll accept bestiality.
They do.
Before they'll accept an LGBTQ stories being told. Now, if all these stories have been told our entire lives, how do we still have anybody who identifies as gay, lesbian, bi, queer, anything? I thought they'd be getting indoctrinated into being straight. If you can be indoctrinated into being gay because you watch gay people kiss every once in a while, that's amazing how it doesn't work that way. But no one ever asks that question of these folks who are implementing these types of things. They're afraid of it actually hurting people. Ron DeSantis, it's a discomfort. So everyone in the country has to kowtow to their discomfort.
Yep.
That's a form of supremacy. We're better than you. Our opinion and our point of view is more important than your existence. So therefore, you have to conform to our perception of who you are in every realm possible. And we're going to legislate that. Does that sound like America to you? Ron DeSantis is upset about CRT teachings, which are not happening. He's upset about the history of our country being taught and our ugly racist history being taught. And the reason he's against it, and he openly said it, this is not some criticism, because it'll make people uncomfortable. If they're uncomfortable with seeing our history, imagine what the people who had to live it felt like. Were they comfortable? 100%. Do we care about them? No, it's based on discomfort for people right now. These snowflakes. I'll change the wording.
Good,
I was going to go with
good catch there. Because while I don't believe that we should have new regulations that identify LGBTQ content, they do have language regulations right now, and we are unfortunately bound by them. I don't approve of those either, but they do exist. This is absolutely ridiculous. And that specifically, they want. Like, they could just say, I don't think people should watch this stuff. There's a gay character, you shouldn't watch it. Or we're gonna create our own group that produces pamphlets that inform people about content so they can make choices. No, this is the government should step in and stop it from happening. Marissa, thank you for the update. It's not gonna happen. We'll get to it on the other side though. But I appreciate that. You're good to the very end. No, the government should step in. And they should create, well, okay, if for that, then for what else? Like, would you support, you know, ratings that identify content that could be interpreted as supporting white supremacy or anti-Semitic content? Like, how many, should it be 1,000 different warnings on every single thing? Is that what you want? Of course you don't actually want that. This is specifically, again, about demonizing the LGBTQ community. And even that is sort of, that's a side effect. This is about continually reinforcing for their base that this is a big issue. It must be, since US senators are talking about it. They talk about it and talk about it. And so it's no wonder that they freak people out. But I will piggyback on what JR was saying. The whole thing about the indoctrination that you can switch someone over. And I know that there are people who believe that. Charlie Kirk has talked about that in his show. I would love to ask Charlie, how many hours of watching gay content would it take for you to become gay? Like, could you manage 20 minutes, but then you're starting to get nervous? Could you do a full hour? How many hours would it take before that's the end of straight man, Charlie? It's nonsense. That's not how any of this actually works.
All these people also know folks that are within the LGBTQ community. Did you catch the virus? You know, did you have to mask up? What is it that they think happens with people who for who they are? It's amazing. But by the way, this is the same type of narrative that came from any other press group throughout our history. Again, a side note as to why they don't want any of it taught, because we might understand how the system continues to get used over and over again to create the next hated person so that they can continue to usurp power.
Yeah. 100%. By the way, really fast, in terms of how much representation there actually is, we just want to give you some updated numbers. So there was a poll released in 2021, said that 15.9% of Gen Z adults, those are born between 1997 and 2002, identify as part of the LGBTQ community. That's 1 in 6 adult members of Gen Z. So in terms of actual representation, this year, broadcast networks actually set a new record. 11.9% of series regular characters on scripted primetime broadcast series were LGBTQ characters. So that's up from the previous year by a couple points. So it's still not very high. It's not in line with the actual percentage of the population, but this is what they hate. They're terrified of another Glee, another Will It Grace. Ooh. Any anyway. With that said, thank you. If you're on one of the platforms where that's it, we do have more for Twitch, YouTube, and our members app. So don't go anywhere. JR and I'll be back after this. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.